I grabbed Brother Jim's dictionary just before I left the house, and I looked up that word. I love Webster. I'm glad he was. I looked up the word fan, you know, fan, but not fan, but fan. Fan, like a sports fan or a fan of some person or a fan of some pastime. You may be a deer hunter and shoot with bow and arrows or something like that, some kind of fan that enjoys that. But, you know, that's just, Webster said, that's just an enthusiastic person. Just a fan. But the very next word underneath fan is fanatic. And I looked at that just for a minute, and I said, you know, one step away from a fan is a fanatic. And from my interpretation of the dictionary, a fan is a spectator. While a fanatic is a participator. And I looked a little bit further at that word fanatic, and I found something else about it. It come from a Latin word that had to do with the temple. And I said to myself, self? We've got this fanatic that's an enthusiastic person. And I read a little bit farther down, and it said, inspired. And I said, this is getting religious. We got a fanatic here that he's inspired. And when the dictionary went on to say that it was just a person that was really enthusiastic with great zeal and piety, I wished you'd look and see sometime in the dictionary what Webster said about zeal. And you tell me in your Webster's dictionary, like it was in Brother Jim's dictionary, if one of the byproducts of zeal isn't praise. I said, here we got this fanatic person. He's just inspired with, and here the word praise, and the word piety just means devoted to God. We all know that. You know, I seem like I'm just fitting in here, because from all appearances last night in this service, we had a bona fide, dyed in the wool, fanatic. Jumping around on this altar, inspired by praise, to see how devoted the rest of the fanatics was in the house. I felt right at home. Now I'm going to tell you something. Pray, sweetheart. I'm going to tell you something. To convince some folks that they really ought to be a fanatic would be like right now. Is the Democratic National Convention going on right now? It would be like a Republican going to the Democratic National Convention trying to convince them that they ought to be more conservative. You just ain't going to do that for some folks. Or it would be like a Democrat going to the Republican National Convention trying to convince them you're just not going to do it. And there's just some folks sitting in our churches. They are not going to be any more devoted than what they are right now. Bless God, they got ready and they come to church and that's all they're going to. And I'm glad you're here. We appreciate it. You fool with us, we'll take another offering. But I'm telling you something. I'm telling you something. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which made them all acclaim. They said, it is burning. It's burning now within our hearts. Oh, glory to His name. And I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come although these people may not learned be, nor boast of worldly fame, they've all received their Pentecost through faith in Jesus' name, and telling now both far and wide, his power is still the same. I'm glad that I can say, I'm one of them. Well, okay. Enough of that. I want you to take your Bibles and look at Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want to read something to you there. Out of 1 Corinthians. Oh, God. Got so many friends here tonight, and I'm glad to hear. Saw Brother and Sister Emery come in from back home over southern Illinois. Glad they're here. Of course, still glad that the Redburns are here with us. They're from West Plains. They go to a Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle there in West Plains. Set on the third row from the front. About where they're at right now. Fanatics. That's all there is to it. I want to read something to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and all the offscouring of the things unto this day. I want to do one more word play here on you. Then I want to preach something to you. In verse number 10, there's a word there, F-O-O-L-S, fools, for we are fools for Christ's sake. You ever do any word references or doing any running of words and looking through concordances and stuff like that? You ever try to reach way back and grab a hold of what they were really trying to say when they said it? What they were really meaning when the Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of men and inspired them in Hebrew writings and in Greek writings. Have you ever wondered about that? Well, without taking anything away from the Scriptures whatsoever, I'm going to read that verse again. I'm going to insert a word there for the word fools that will take us back closer to the original text than you can ever imagine. Are you ready? I'm going to read verse 10. We are fanatics for Christ's sake. Lord, here we are tonight on this night, standing in this house. If the furniture is going to be arranged, it's going to be by your power. If angels come and stand at the four corners of this building and hold back hell while the saints of God rejoice, it'll be on your bidding. If there's any that are encouraged to run to these altars with hands extended in your direction, it'll be by your urging. If anything is preached tonight from behind this pulpit, it'll be your anointing. If anything is heard sitting out there in that pew, it'll be because it's spirit-driven to somebody that was interested. Touch us tonight, Lord, and help me appear behind this podium, preach to these wonderful folks. In thy name we ask it. Amen. I want to read something to you. I'm just full of reading stuff tonight. I don't know how early, how much before 1910 he said this. I don't remember. I just bought the book today over in the kitchen. Some of you guys missed it. But I don't know how much before 1910 he said this. But this is what a great man said. He said, I believe when we bring the church down to the level of the world, 1910, when we bring the church down to the level of the world, we are all the while grieving the Spirit of God. But some say if we take that stand and lift it up high, it will drive many good members from our churches. I believe it. And the quicker they are gone, the better. D.L. Moody said that back in 1910. Of course, there was another book that said that friendship with this world is enmity with God, and that was a little before D.L.'s time. I'm going to tell you something right here in this room. There are worse things in this world than you being labeled a fanatic. Worse things. Now, I know I've watched, coming over here the other day, I watched a Moses reject walking down one of the Indiana streets. His sandals was shining. His beard hung plumb down to his chest. He probably used flea powder instead of deodorant. He had some kind of a thing hung around his neck, and it looked like, didn't it look like a picture, a portrait of something? I don't know. I didn't get close enough to him to find out exactly what it was. You know, you got to beware of some of them fanatics. But down the street he walked, and he had a long flowing robe on, and the one prominent thing in his hand was his Bible. And my first impression was, what would I do if he showed up in one of my meetings and said, I'd like to say a little something for the Lord, for the Lord. That's the pastor side of me coming in. There's a guy in West Plains right now. I'm not sure where he's living. I know he's eating out of the dumpsters. His hair is long and white and matted. The other day when the temperatures were hot, he had on a coat. The only thing that he owns, as far as I've been able to see, every time that I've noticed him, is he carries a Walmart bag, probably full of his entire belongings, and he carries a Bible in his hand. And up and down the city streets, he has been living for the past few days in West Plains. Several months back, they called me over at the house and said, Preacher, we need you down here at Walmart, down at McDonald's on Gibson and Porter Wagner. What they said was, is this some of your people down here? So I went and got my car and went down there. McDonald's, I figured it was my whole congregation. So I got in my car and I drove down there to McDonald's. And when I got out, there was these guys right out in the middle of the traffic holding signs that said, God hates fags. And another one standing there saying, God hates homosexuals. And there was these young ladies, and they all had long hair and long dresses, and the first thing that the cops in West Plains thought was they were from my place. I was honored. They didn't call the Baptist church to see if they were from there. I was honored. So when I got down there, I assured them that's really none of my folks out there. And they said, well, what in the world are we going to do? And I said, well, normally when you got a cultish clan that nobody knows where they're from and what they're doing and what they look like, I said, if you go up and just try to get one of their names, they'll load up on their bus and take out. And they did, and everybody was gone, and everybody. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm on the flip side of the silliness and the stupidity that goes along with some things that we call Pentecost. And there's some stuff that I've heard in our Pentecostal churches that was neither godly, Pentecost, or holy for the hour. I've preached meetings when I have been embarrassed by some of the stuff that I've heard in the pulpits in that meeting. Now, don't sit there and look at me like I just got out. I'm telling you, there's some stuff that is absolutely bona fide stupid. It needs to be canned and put back on the shelf and allowed to mold, just like the same shelf that it come off of. But I'm going to tell you something else. There is a pride, a proud, there's something that just rises up on the inside of me when Lloyd Cheek gets up, and I can lean back and say, I'm one of them guys like that. When Brother Carl Page gets up here, you know. Absolutely. I mean, I'd wear white socks if I thought it helped me preach better. He's the only guy I know when he kicks his leg, you have to put your sunglasses on. But I'm telling you something. I'm telling you something. I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. I like them kind of fanatics. I want to show you another guy. Are you ready? Sitting right back there. Did anybody recognize that? Hey, anybody recognize that? I'm telling you. Hey, I relate to that. I enjoy that. I like that. That's my kind of people. That's the kind of folks I like to be around. And so, really, you know, there's worse things in life than being called a fanatic. I've told this before. My dad was he really never liked to draw a whole lot of attention to himself or have a whole lot of attention drawn to any of us in the family around him. And it was always hard for my dad to clap his hands. In church, he just, you know, it's just hard for him to. And it was hard for my dad to raise his hands. I mean, when somebody said, raise your hands, you know, and I know it was a streak of pride about 327 miles long. But there was one thing that my dad could not stand, and it always bothered me. And that was my dad could not stand to hear somebody get up and say, I'm a holy roller. He couldn't stand that. And that bothered me because I was one. And it really bothered me because I always tried not to use that term around him because I respected him and I knew that he didn't like it. But my dad's gone. No hands in the air, no clap. My dad's gone. And I'm going to tell you something. I am absolutely proud to be enlisted in that group of people that's called Holy Rollers. Several years ago, I was privileged to pastor in Jonesboro, Illinois. And an older fellow there was in a nursing home that was in my family. I went over to see him one day, and Carol looked at me from the wheelchair, and he said, you still got anything to do with that old Elko campground? And I said, yeah. I said, we'll go up there, have youth camp. I said, it's still... He said, they still got a sawdust floor? And I said, no, got a concrete floor now. I said, they still opened the side wall. It wasn't air conditioned then. It was still extremely hot and dry and dusty. And he said, you know, he said, that used to be entertainment for us every year when they'd have that camp meeting. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, that's the wildest bunch of people I ever seen in my life. He said, we'd go up there and stand and look through them windows and watch them crazy people. He said, the floors were sawdust. And he said, it was so hot that the minute that any part of you touched the sawdust, you stuck to it. He said, and they'd get in that floor and they'd roll around in that sawdust. And they'd get up and they'd hoop and they'd holler. He said, they'd come running out that door. Run all the way down the hill. Run back up the hill. He said it was the beatenest thing that I ever seen. He said, y'all still do that? We got concrete floors now. And we have carpeted concrete floors now, and is there any pallets made in here tonight for any of the children? Is any of the children here have, is everybody in car seats? Is there any pallets in here tonight on the floor that after a while, when a bunch of fanatics forget what they are and who they are and where they're at, and they allow the Holy Ghost of God to grab such a hold of them that they could care less who's in the building? Are there any pallets in the floor that we can just smile and say, the same Holy Ghost that protected the babies then will take care of the babies now? Let the Lord have His way. Was there any fanatics like that in the house, I wonder? You see, there's worse things in this world than being called... Hey, it's a slang term. If you want to really run your pastor down, you know what you do? You call him and you say, you're a fanatic. You're a fanatic. If you really want to gouge him, you really want to take the knife and stick in his rib and say, I just want to hurt you real bad, all you got to do nowadays is say, you're a bona fide dyed-in-the-wool fanatic. Oh, glory be to God. I love to get your phone calls, especially if you're paying for it and it's long distance. I'll keep you on the line as long as I can, because I'm going to use you for my next illustration as soon as I can get in the pulpit. Sometimes that's an honor. It's a badge to wear. With this, hey, listen. I'm telling you, I'm preaching tonight on fanatics. And don't everybody get excited. People's going to paint their face red and yellow and green, strip their shirts and their clothes off, set out in sub-zero temperature, holler like a bunch of Banjo Indians while somebody kicks a piece of pig skin that ought to be boiled and eat instead of kicked with the feet up and down some kind of stadium floor. They'll sit out there and catch pneumonia, look like a bunch of idiots, ain't got enough sense to come in out of the weather, and you let a bunch of folks come to camp meeting on a Tuesday night service. Somebody say we ought to worship God and let the Lord have his way, and they think we're the fanatic. You're right. Wow! You're absolutely positively right. We've got young ladies in this world that'll strip themselves down. They walk into a department store, look at the rack and say, how little can I wear and not get arrested? They'll come out on the street. They'll come down through the mall. They'll try to get in our They'll try to get our boys and distract our other young. I'm telling you, they'll get in such a shape that you can't hardly stand it. And we're a bunch of fanatics when we tell our young ladies, dress like a young lady, be moral like a young lady, look like a young lady, and wear something to church that you can shout in. You did wear something tonight you could shout in, didn't you? You're going to look at me now. I don't mean to embarrass my wife. After this many years, she can't be. I mean, she's stone cold to this now. But even to this very day, there's times when my wife goes clothes shopping. She'll have me, I just love it, sit right there in that chair, right by that changing booth. And she'll come out and she'll say, will this work? She's not talking about how nice it looks, because she looks nice. She's not talking about how pretty it is, because she's pretty. Baiting it up, ain't I? I ain't worried about the price on it, because if it didn't come off the clearance rack, she didn't get it no way. She just wants to know, will this work? Will there be anything detrimental if I come into the house of God in this? Do you think I can shake loose? Do you think I can run the aisle? Do you think I can worship God? Do you think I can be a good... I like fanatics like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with being an old-time Holy Ghost-filled fanatic. Young men and young ladies cruising up and down the city streets, hanging their head out the window. Stopped four the other night in a pickup truck. Out of all four of them, they were all under the influence of alcohol. One that was driving was 14 and had no business being behind the wheel of the truck. She found out in quick order. I'm telling you something right now, that we come to the house of God, if it runs a little past 9 o'clock, and some of our children are rejoicing and shouting under the inspiration of God, some old deadheads walk out the door calling us a bunch of fanatics. If you don't get a pork tenderloin tonight after church, you'll live. But if you don't have a move of the Holy Ghost, you'll die. Some of you folks sitting in this building tonight need a pizza about like we need another hole in our head. Some of the... Pray, honey. Oh, glory, I rode with Jim. I ain't even got my truck. Listen, I'm sunk. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Some of you need a candy bar about as bad as you need a virus. Some of you need another onion sandwich. About as bad as you need a migraine. But I'm going to tell you what the fanatics at Shady Spring Camp Meeting really needs. An old-fashioned move of God. Until the next thing that you hear is somebody on the back row shouting right out of that pew, coming down this aisle like their life depends upon it. Because, brother and sister, it's not just the offerings and the great preaching and the tape ministry that keeps Shady Springs alive. That's not why there's a Bill Wyatt and a Carl Page and a Larry Dalton. That's not what we're here about. We are here because there's been a long list of fools, a long list of fanatics, for Christ's sake. And that's what we... Hey! Listen! They'll spend multi-millions of dollars on a tractor pull, a rodeo. All they need to do is come to some of my men's meetings. They can ride and hear all the pull. Listen, I'll tell you something. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars at a concert. Pay good money to walk in there and look at everything that we've preached against all of our life. We come on a Tuesday night to have an old-fashioned camp meeting. You take one look up here and say, that's a bunch of fanatics standing there on that platform. You mighty right. You mighty right. And I'm telling you, I'd put every one of these standing up guys against every one of you sitting down guys in the house tonight. Because, brother, sister, sometimes a fanatic, they just show themselves as being one. They just allow themselves to be succumbed by the very same devotion that the old-time fanatics were overcome by when you read about them in the New Testament. Hey, I'm telling you something, in this room, people can cuss and smoke and commit adultery. Live like the devil. Look like the devil. I'm just talking about the TV that you moved in your house. I'm not talking about the bar. I'm talking about the advertisements you have in your living room. They can live like the devil. They can look like the devil. Everything you don't want your children to be, you let them watch it. Everything you don't want your children to do, you let them see it. Everything that our children have never tasted, you bring in the house and you tell them, fill up. Get entertained. Hey, are you listening? And you let some rabble-rousing, eye-bugging, gray-headed, 49-year-old preacher get up behind the pulpit and tell you that you're worldly if you do that. That you're carnal if you do that. That you're going to lose your children if you do that. That you can't be sanctified if you do that. That you don't know what it's really like to have a move of the Holy Ghost if you do that. And you think I'm a fanatic. Pray, honey. If you guys want to sit down, you're welcome to. If you want to preach, you're welcome to. I'm going to tell you something about fanatics right here and right now. And I'm going to give everybody in this house a chance to sign up and a chance to join up. Because a fanatic will throw himself with utter abandon into the very work and worship of God. He'll put everything that he's got into everything that he is to do something for God. When's the last time that you got ready for church and said, I'm going to give it everything the minute that I walk through the door? When's the last time that we as pastors on a dead dry Wednesday night walked into our church and said, I'm just going to give them a little tidbit tonight because everybody's not going to be here and it won't matter anyway? Now that's the point where you all were supposed to stand up and they all sat down. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, when you throw yourself into utter abandon, into the very things of God, you may be labeled a fanatic. But when you come out on the other side, you'll be the one that's shouting. You'll be the one that's rejoicing. You'll be the one with a marriage that stayed together. You'll be the one with children in the altar. You'll be the one with a church that has a name of holiness. You just need to be a fanatic. The fox hunter rides the horse, jumps the fence, jumps the creek. When asked, what is it inside you that makes you jump these barriers to chase the hounds? The fox hunter said, I throw my heart over the fence first, and the rest of me follows. Now you know the Bible says that when you come through the doors of our churches, how are you supposed to come in? You know what the Bible says. How are you supposed to do it? When you come into the church, when you walk into your church, where's the first thing you're supposed to visit? The water fountain is not the answer. What's the first thing you're supposed to visit? Oh, I know how we do. We got to get at least 27 tissues because we know that we're fixing to have a nose-blowing night. But I'm going to tell you the first thing that you're supposed to do when you come in. When I came in this house tonight, that Webb kid was up here preaching on praise. You know what I did? I walked straight from the back door, straight down the sidewall, straight up on the platform, raised my hands and went to hollering. You know why? Because that's what the Bible tells a bunch of fanatics to do when they come into the house of the Lord. He wants us to come through the door with utter abandon. Brother Lloyd Cheek last night, I hope he didn't leave. You tell him. I'll tell him.
You tell him.
I hope he didn't leave this campground with 1 ounce of regret last night, feeling like he might have done something that he shouldn't have done. But I can count about 300 people that should have left that way. Whoa! I'm telling you right now, whether you feel like worshiping God or not, a fanatic will worship. Whether your back hurts or not, a fanatic will worship. If they'll set for a ball game, they ought to be able to raise their hand and worship the Lord. Fanatics! There's a guy, I'm not going to preach fast. There's a guy in this Bible by the name of Paul. He was an intellect. In fact, he was such a colossal figure, had such a striking personality about him that he could have stayed in Tarsus and been a pretty big wig. Yeah. And I would say on his road to the bottom that many, many well-to-doers would stop him along the way and say, Paul, buddy, come on now. You don't have to do that. Paul, come on, man. You don't have to be a fanatic. You don't have to be so silly. You don't have to act that way. And I'm going to tell you something. Right now, the attitude of some of the teenagers and the young married people that's growing up in our Pentecostal ranks has some of those very same characteristics. You don't have to do that. That's not necessary. And I worry sometimes what's going to happen when we bury the last Bill Wyatt. And we bury the last Harold Esri. And we bury the last Height. And we bury the last Johnson. I worry about stuff. Well, now, brother, there's going to be a few. That's right. That has a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, that they are worthy. But if it's this tough now to have an old-fashioned move of God without putting a stick of dynamite under each individual pew, can you imagine what it's going to be like 25 years from now if the Lord delays His coming? You know what I think? I think we're losing that God-given drive to be holiness fanatics. I think we're losing it. I think we're blending live in with everybody else until it's affecting our churches and our pulpits and our camp meetings. So Paul, really, just be strong, Paul, but be silent. Just live the life, Paul. Don't ever say that when a lady trims, snips, cuts, wrinkles, crinkles her. Don't ever say, be silent, Paul, but be strong. Don't ever say that country western music will take you to hell faster. Don't say it, Paul. I wonder what kind of reception in 1910 D.L. Moody got when he said what he said. Because I'm telling you, it ain't very popular now to get up and say what I just said. Of course, I can remember a time when parents, if they could hear a preacher, get up behind the pulpit and admonish their young ladies not to get pregnant out of wedlock, mom and daddy would shout, glory be to God. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But now mom and daddy's so mad, and they don't want to be told what to do, that they tell the kids they don't have to pay and no attention either. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, there's a lot of worse things than being a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, Tuesday night, shouting in the house of God, fanatic! Don't say nothing, Paul. Don't say nothing, Paul. But he did. He did. And what he said was, none of these things move me. So when the Pentecostal Church of God offered me a position in being their national evangelist for the state of Tennessee, I weren't interested. When the Assemblies of God, when the Assemblies of God approached me in every building just about that I held a revival for and said, of all the things that we could do, if I'd just be willing to take a test. I hate tests. So I turned them down. Is anybody getting my drift? So when the Pentecostal Holiness in the group down that I preached for a little while approached me and said, do you know what we could do with a young man like you? I looked at the young men like me that they already had and decided I didn't want them to get a hold of me. I didn't want them to get a hold of me. So, you know what I did? Through all the necktie wars, I just stayed with you. Through all the crazy illustrated messages at times when I know some preachers had to bite their bottom lip to keep from having a heart attack, I just stayed with you. When some of the preachers that stood behind these pulpits are not allowed to stand behind them anymore, I'm preaching the beatings. I've kept my eyes off of the internet. I've not succumbed to pornography. I've not allowed the spirit of adultery to separate me and my wife. I've kept my... Wow! That sounds like a fanatic to me! And I'm glad you think so! Because, brother, sister, I am a fanatic! And I'm proud of it! And you know why you're not? You can't take it. I dare some of you folks that think that preachers are lazy and fat and never do anything. I dare you to keep up with me 1 month. I dare you to keep up with me 1 month. I dare you to ask some of my church folks right there who can't hardly keep up with me 1 week. I dare you to keep up with us. Well, that's just a bunch of fanatics. You're right again. You ought to run for office. You're batting 100 tonight. For some people who think that some singers that get up on this platform are just there because they're good looking. What? No. But they'll walk up their horse and grab a song that's in a key too low because they've already shouted their shoe heels off, and they'll sing, Jesus is coming soon, and they'll do it because they're a fanatic. And some folks in this house hasn't said amen yet in the entire service. Hey, I tell you something, I am glad that I could say I'm one of them. You know why some of you teenage boys can't live holy, sanctified, and separated? You ain't got it. You ain't got it. Any worm can squirm. Anybody can blend in with the rest of the crowd. Any of these girls can raise their hemline. Lower their hairline. Any of the boys in this room that can allow themselves to... Some of them about already let themselves go. But any of these young men can allow themselves to get ungodly and get worldly. I was preaching a camp meeting out in... here in the United States of America. And I don't know why they got me. They don't know why they got me. But I don't know why they got me. I don't know why I got them, but we got each other. After the second night, this big galoot. I need a big galoot. Are there any big galoots in the house? Any big galoots? Tim Brim, you're as galootified as I can find. This boy right here is full of galoots. Yes, he is. I just need you to be a galoot right now. Didn't know that because he didn't have a backbone, and I did. And with that same backbone, I have walked up to platform musicians in my church and said, with that same, woo! With that same backbone, I have walked up to individuals and said, out! With that same backbone, I've stepped up in pulpits just like this one and told you just what I'm telling you right now. Do you know why? Because, brother, sister, if we don't raise a new generation of fanatics, we're going to start locking down these kind of meetings, shutting down the old-fashioned move of God. Wow! We're going to have some fanatics! Bristol, last year, I wasn't there last year. This year, I wasn't there. I was. One year, Bristol, I was preaching. Bristol camp meeting. And I come down for the grand finale. And I turned around and looked. And you know who was lined up around the platform with me? The young preachers. 30 years old and younger. Lined up around the front of that platform with me. I watched old Dennis Heath. I mean, I watched Tiny. He fell in that floor and started crawling down that aisle in that Bristol Tabernacle. Every bit of him crawling toward the back door. I watched him. I watched them holding boys spin around in the front of that church house. And you know what I said to myself? As long as we can keep turning out a young generation of guys that don't care to mess up their hair, work up a little sweat, get themselves involved in a worship service of God, we'll still have some fanatics left. Now, you deserve better preaching than this. That's why you need to buy Brother Kevin Webster's tape. But I'm telling you, in this tabernacle, in this house, right now, if we had to worry about shutting out these lights at 2 a.m, it wouldn't distress me in the bit if fanaticism could return to some of the dead pews, dry eyes, closed hearts, shut down minds, worldly spirits, carnal attitudes, and people. people in general who go to our churches, but they're not of them. They never have really accepted that dedicated walk in God that a fanatic has to. Listen, throw yourself. I got to be so careful here. You know, Brother Kevin Webster just gets up here, just names everybody wants to name on the tape. I got to be a little more careful. Other than that, I can't remember some of their names. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a characteristic about one of these guys that throw themselves to utter abandon, and that is they dare to do the impossible. That's a fanatic. They dare to do the impossible. Now, brother, I just want you, hey, I've never been noted to be very prudent. I've never been noted to be that way. In fact, there's been only one way that I've ever recognized being successful in the cause of God, and that's running wide open, giving it everything that I got. And when I was so sick and having my nervous breakdown and having such a hard time at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle that they had to put a baby monitor on the organ in the church and set the monitor over in the house where the great height was curled up in a fetal position, in his recliner, shaking, having panic attacks, unable to cope with the stress and the strains of life. They'd walk up beside that monitor of a night after church, and I'd hear my young folks say, "Good night, Brother Height. We missed you. We're praying for you." And unable to straighten my legs out, unable to spend the night without having some kind of my wife sitting there beside me, killing the creeping things that would climb up my legs. All I can remember saying to every one of them was, "I'll see you later." There was just something in me that even though I had succumbed to some of the very same trials and temptations that everybody else, the fanatic in me didn't want to turn off the monitor. I wanted to stay connected to the house of God. I wanted to hear the saints singing, and I wanted to hear them shouting because I knew I'd be back. Wow! Did you hear me? I knew I'd be back. I told you I knew I'd be back. And guess what? I'm back. I don't know if you missed me or not, but you're just going to have to put up with me till the next trial or the next heartache or the next hardship or the next microphone. And if we have to go through every one of them, I'll buy my own, bring me one tomorrow night. I'm a fanatic. Hey, is anybody listening? If I can make a comeback, you can. If I can come out of the fetal position, you can. If I can get out of the panic attack, you can. If I can shout again, you can. Do you know what should happen right now in this service? Do you know what ought to happen right now in this service? Somebody in this building ought to take a quick look at their puny, pitiful, powerless possession of Pentecostal piety and say, "I am not going to sit through an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move of God like this and leave a second-rate, second-class Pentecostal when I can shout across the same front, worship God in the same altar, be called to God by the same Holy Ghost, be used to God by the same power." Hallelujah. Is this working? it's working. Ah! Woo! Man! This thing ought to run for a board sometime. Listen! I'm going to tell you something. Is it on right? Can you hear? Can you all hear me all the way in the back? If you're in the very back, can you hear me? Good. Good, I thought you could. Couldn't tell for sure, but I had hope that you could. Did you know right now, Brother Hyde, I believe that's the puniest, most pitiful preaching I've ever heard. I'm telling you, we have heard some of the best, powerful preaching that you could want to hear all day. When are you going to quit listening and start doing? When are we going to stop listening to Brother Kevin Webster say, we need to do something to make everybody curious? Hey, are they already in the building now fixing the concessions? You know, they're already frying the hamburgers. And Yeah, they're making French fries right now. They're already doing it. And probably some folks have already snuck out and are already sitting over there feasting. But wouldn't it be something if the power of God hit a bunch of fanatics and the kitchen had to come looking for us? Wouldn't it be something in this house if somebody standing in this room right now has been battling nerve trouble and you're leaning back saying, this is my last night to take it home with me. I'm going to go become a fanatic and watch what God can do. Wouldn't it be something if this is the last night that you walked into this church house saying, I'm so shy that I'd love to worship God and I'd love to praise God, but I just can't. And you stepped out of that seat right now. You started walking down that concrete aisle. You come down toward the front of this place. And the next thing that you felt was an old-fashioned touch of the power of God. How'd you like to have one of them kind of fanatic meetings? Is there any mom and dad in this house tonight that would like to see your son get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What would happen if mom and dad took each other by the hand, started down the aisle, and come down and sought for a refilling themselves? There's pastors in this house that are dragging, pastoring, fighting, pulling and straining, trying to deliver some kind of message of inspiration. And when they get to the house of God, it's met with a yawn and a Jesus, until sometimes we leave the church, and if our wives didn't say, you did good, sweetheart, we'd almost contemplate going by McDonald's and committing suicide with ice cream. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. What if somebody in this room said, this is for me, and I've not had it for so long, and I'm going to step out. I'm going to head down to the front of that. You'll have to step over this guy laying here. It's okay. That's okay. That's okay. The only thing I regret about this service is he's laying on carpet and not sawdust. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. What would happen right now in this service if you quit standing there looking at me and you stepped out and said, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them? What would happen right now in this room if a teenage young lady stepped out and said, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them? What would happen in this room right now if somebody in the back of the church lifted their hand and hollered, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them? What would happen right now in this church if the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way? What could happen in the house of God right now? There's a little boy in the house right now. He's sitting up here toward the front. Somebody tell me his name. Brother Binkley's little boy? sitting right there. You know what he's doing? He's sitting in a wheelchair. You know what he's doing in a wheelchair? He's raising his hands, worshiping God. I don't think that's a fanatic. You hear me? I mean, I don't think that's so fanatical. Actually, I don't think that's so fanatical. I think it's a miracle. You hear me? I think that's one step above fanaticism. When we've got people tonight in this church that are healthy, and you can't get them to say, "Glory be to God, hallelujah." I'm still waiting on somebody to come up here and meet me that wants to walk out of your nerve trouble. I know about a few of you, but we're going to go someplace tonight. What's fixing to happen? What's fixing to happen? What do you mean, what's fixing to happen? Just them stepping out by faith. That's all God requires. Are you listening? Just by making one concerted effort. That's all God requires. What's going to happen in a holiness house full of fanatics that are saying hallelujah and glory be to God? I tell you, they're going to come from the back. They're going to come from the middle. They're going to come from the side. There's going to be some boys say, "I want to join this." Some girls that says, "I want to live this way." Some mamas and daddies that realize you need to get back to the old-fashioned power of God that you used to have before carnality ruined your home. And the next sound you heard was somebody in the back of the house who said, "He's got on the platform. He's got back at the door. He's got in the same end corner. And he's got all over the floor. And somebody back there. Woo! Holler, I don't want to be a fanatic." And the Holy Ghost fell. Listen. Listen. Listen, praying saints. Listen, holiness people. Go tell you something. You know what I'd do if I was you? Anything I felt like to worship God and allow heaven to come down in this room. We're already a bunch of fanatics. Woo! We're already a bunch of all-rolling, head-shaking fanatics. Woo! Preachers' wives said hallelujah. Woo! One of them. I'm glad that I could say I'm one of them. I need a few men in this house. They don't care about nothing but worshiping God right now. That would in unison raise their hands and tell God, I'll be what you want me to be. Make me what I ought to be. And I'm going to guarantee you something. Woo! You can be a fanatic before you leave the building. I'm looking for a husband and wife that would like to change your marriage. I'm looking for a house that would like to become a home. And you'd like for the Holy Ghost to help you. Concession stand is hollering. Where in the world are they at? I'm going to tell you something else. Heaven is a wonder, the same thing. Where in the world are we at? Woo! You are in the house of the sanctified God of heaven. And you have every right tonight to exercise your Pentecostal past and allow the Lord to refill you with the Holy Ghost! Somebody's going to take revival home. Somebody's going to take revival back to the house. Somebody's going to leave this service tonight with a new call of God on their life. Somebody's going to get called to preach. Woo! We're going to turn out a brand new fanatic before this service is out. Some pastor's going to get a renewed strength. Some preacher's wife is going to feel, hey, if you're in this house someplace and you're standing next to a preacher's wife and you know she is one, she may be so shy that she's still standing back someplace in the congregation. But I want everybody in this room to scan. If you know you're standing close to a preacher's wife, I want you to reach over. You sisters, in modesty, I want you to reach over and I want you to lay your hands on them. And I want us to pray one of them old-fashioned, God bless you kind of prayers that has been birthed in an old-fashioned fanatical service where the men and the women of God prayed for each other until heaven come down and the Holy Ghost responded. I say, reach over and pray for our preacher's wife right now. Go ahead, sister. Be all right, Tricia. Go ahead. It's okay. It's okay. Just grab a hold of her, Sister Hyatt, and bring her on. It's all right. It's all right. Bring her on. Bring her on. Sister Paige, bust through over here for me. Bunch of fanatics. Fix to get turned loose in here tonight. Sister Paige, come on up here. Any of you other sisters that want to come up here, grab a hold right here. We're fixing to have revival. Fixing to have revival. Fixing to have revival. Fixing to have revival. Any of you want to get your hand in on it? Fixing to have revival. All right. Come on, Sister Bernine. It's okay. Come on. Come on, Sister Hayes. Another minute, I'd come and join. Woo! I wouldn't stand back and wonder what they're doing. I'd get up here. I'd let the Holy Ghost give us an area revival. What would heaven think? Some of them in the altar. We got some of them laying in the floor. We got some of them on their feet. We got some of them with their heads in the air. Woo! And I'm glad that I can say I'm right here in the middle of the night that the Holy Ghost fell in the tabernacle. Woo! And had his way with the children of God. Was you there the Tuesday night that the preachers all across the building started lifting their hands saying, I want a brand new calling of God on my life to become a fanatic? Was you there on the Tuesday night at Shady Springs camp meeting when some of the teenagers went to saying, I want to be more sanctified than I've ever been in my life? Was you there on the Tuesday night that they were worshiping God from the front all the way to the back? Was you there? I'm glad that I could say I'm one of them. Was you there the Tuesday night when they were laying on the altar? Yeah, I'm glad I can say I'm one of them. Woo! Was you there when that young preacher come up under the power and the inspiration of the power of God? Yeah, I'm glad I can say I was one of them. Woo! Hallelujah! Was you really there the night when he kicked all over the floor in front of the pulpit? Yeah! I'm glad that I could say I'm one of the old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled believers! Was you there the night that he come out of his nerve trouble? Yeah. Was you really in the service when the Spirit of the Lord touched Sister Binkley? Yeah, I was. I was there and watched the glory of the Lord on all the faces of the sisters that was praying with her. Was you really there that night? Was you really there that night? Yeah, I was. Was you there the Tuesday night that some of the saints of God from High Point, Kentucky got an old-fashioned touch of God around the altar? Yeah, I was there. I was there. Woo! I grabbed a hold of him and saw it happen. Woo! Hey, we still got guys down there in the altar? Somebody close to them, tell them to throw their hands straight up. I always found out my help cometh from the Lord. You'll hardly ever get it bubbling up from the floor. Lift your hands and raise your head. Look straight up to heaven. Hallelujah! Woo! This is the kind of people that God delights to serve in. A peculiar people. Seemed like I remember. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 I'm telling you, just about time you all decide to quit, look around. Just about time you decide to give up, look around. Because there's in every corner, there's somebody in this room that's still under the inspiration, intoxicated by a visitation of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah! Just about the time you decide to quit, praise Him one more time. Just about the time you decide that you're too tired to go any further, lean back and say, I'll give it everything that I've got tonight to get in your presence. Woo! Oh, glory be to God. And it starts getting contagious. Oh, glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah! No wonder when they belched out of the upper room and took it to the street, it affected everybody they came in contact with. There's just something about the influence of a move of the Holy Ghost. hell. And the fanatics hollered, hallelujah. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Woo! That's okay, Sister Brock. It's all right, Sister Lena. Woo! Battling affliction in her body. And the saint said, hallelujah, for a move of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Bunch of fanatics. But look at what the Lord has done. Woo!